Yeah, welcome to the catch-up. I tell you what, we may have found a reoccurring segment today. Our intern Jack was recently attacked by a brush turkey in his backyard when wildlife attacks absolutely went off. Some buffalo, some cassowary action.
Mm. Oh, how about the sloth?
Yeah, that was unexpected.
It was unexpected. Rich Uncle Mal called through.
Yeah, that was good fun as well. And then, of course, well, someone wants some money on the pressure test, but you won't hear that. But you should be playing every day at 8 o'clock. We play the pressure test. $1,000 up for grabs, which is easy money, you lot.
Not every day that you have a South American drug trade expert on either. Didn't know there was an expert.
Well, he was an expert on South American jails, which was even better.
Mm. Yes, talking about the Australian girl who has been arrested in Colombia with cocaine in and amongst her luggage, allegedly. So plenty on the catch-up today. Enjoy thyself.
Hey, listen, we've got Jack, our assistant producer. Is that what I'll call you? Assistant producer.
Or intern.
Intern. Jack the intern.
We like that. Hey, Jack.
Jack,
hey,
what do you got on your nose?
Got a bit of a bandage across my nose. Had a run-in with some of the local Queensland wildlife.
What happened? It was a scrub turkey.
Yeah, so I've been doing a bit of landscaping around the house lately, laid some new tan bark and just had a scrub turkey move itself in and destroy all my hard work.
Okay, so then how did you two come to blows? What were you doing when it attacked?
Well, the scrub turkey was sitting in the middle of the lawn and I was, after fixing up my new tan bark collection for about the 100th time.
They scratch the hell out of it, don't they?
Gone, I'm going to get you, scrub turkey. I didn't want to kill the scrub turkey either, so I was sitting in the middle of the lawn.
You can't kill them.
Nice of you, Jack.
You're not allowed to kill.
Friend of all animals.
Are you not allowed to kill scrub turkeys?
You've got to relocate them. You can't.
Relocate them.
Yeah. Tap your nose.
Relocate.
Anyway, so yes.
So the scrub turkey's having a bit of a snooze in the middle of the lawn, and I thought I'd, sneak up behind it, crouching tiger style.
What?
And launched myself at the scrub turkey, went to tackle it, and it's just turned around and given me a big swipe across the nose. And
what did it hit you on the nose with? Beak or claw?
It headbutted me.
Did you not have a weapon?
Did you know much about scrub turkeys? You know how hard they are to hurt?
They are very, very hard.
Hey, you do know now, but did you previously know?
No.
Should have used the net, mate.
I just thought they were cute.
No, they're not cute.
The opposite of cute, they're nasty. Well, there you go. There's one. Scrub turkey attacked you in the face. You've got the scars to prove it. So the question begs, when did wildlife attack you?
Oh, come on. There must be some possum stories.
Yes. When have you been attacked? Are we going to go just to Brisbane area or can it be anywhere?
Anywhere.
Anywhere, as long as it's not pets, this is wild animals, whether it's a kangaroo.
If someone's got a tiger story, we're all up for
it. Wow, okay. Ooh, bonus points, the more obscure the animal, the more points you're going to get here. So,
emu.
Emus, when has wildlife attacked you?
Come on, are you going to tell the possum story?
Well, the possum story was on Friday night, very late, I caught it eating from the dog bowl on our back deck. Now, it's taken a few bananas, and that's when I hate it. It comes inside the house. There's three of them living there, Safit, the eaves of our house. I got to kick one up the bum the other day. Is that against the law? I don't know.
Nah.
That's
relocated.
I relocated it from the dog bowl to the edge of the veranda, and it went over. It survived, all right?
And it hasn't come back.
And it didn't attack me. I attacked it. So that's not what this phone is all about.
Kylie of Capella
Bar. I don't like telling that story.
When wildlife attacks, what happened?
Yeah, so I was 5 years old, walking with my sister down the beach. I grew up in New Zealand, and I jumped on a seal. And then it jumped on me, and it bit my shoulder. So I've still got scars all around my shoulder from it biting me.
Bit what? On a shoulder by a seal.
Why did you jump on
it? Well, I was five, so I was jumping through the driftwood, and obviously they look like wood, so jumped on it, didn't realise it was a seal at the time, and then I quickly realised, went to run towards the sea, away from it, and obviously that was blocking its exit, so when I turned around, it came for me and jumped straight on top of me.
Yep, great message. I mean, there's only one way to describe that, isn't there, Brendan?
That is horrific.
Yeah, it's horrific. That is horrific.
How good is that to have a scar and you can say you got taken out by a seal?
Seal bite. Yeah. No biggie. I don't want to talk about it.
Boy, George might have a few of those. So, Jason.
Easy. Jace.
How you going?
Yeah, don't worry, well, everyone here cracks up. Broby Island, you're from. What animal attacked?
I had a buffalo, mate. He came out of the bush. I was doing a bit of fencing up there in Adelaide River, Northern Territory.
Yeah.
Buffalo, she was there with a calf, and the next minute I looked around, and here comes the father. He comes tearing out of the bush.
Big horns?
Big horns are about a metre over the side. And I dropped the bloody strainers, and I ran straight for the Land Cruiser, jumped in, he's hit the Land Cruiser, tipped the Land Cruiser on its side.
Wow.
I was stuck in the Land Cruiser for about 3 or 4 hours, waiting for someone to come and get me, and this buffalo, he just kept on hitting this bloody Land Cruiser. I didn't mind because it was me boss's, but...
My God, where did he hit the Land Cruiser? That's what everyone want to know, because he's hit it running at full pace and just stuck the horns in and then tipped it.
Straight underneath the driver's side door, and he just lifted it up, and that was it. And I had the esky full of beer in the cab anyway, so I was pretty well right for fluid. But this buffalo, he just kept on hitting his Land Cruiser, and then the boss turned up about 3.5 hours later, and he just couldn't believe the mess this bloody thing done to it.
So how did you get out? What did he do?
Shot the buffalo.
Yeah. Oh. All right. that sort of sport. No, we relocated it. Yeah.
He's relocated the buffalo.
Yeah, he's been relocated. He's on my wall now, mounted.
Okay. Shut up, Jace. I gave you the chance. Hey, that's pretty good.
That's okay. Okay.
Jace got to drink a carton of beer and get some buffalo horns out of that one. Yeah. It's not a bad one.
Cassandra of Greenbank, when wildlife attacks, what happened?
I got attacked by a cassowary.
Oh, I've heard they're nasty, Cassandra.
They are the most horrible thing. Now, I don't know if anyone knows North Queensland, but up at the Atherton Tablelands, I've got the most beautiful picnic areas. And we were out there one day, I was about 10 years old, and all of a sudden, out of what only can be described as a rainforest, a cassowary comes. Now, I don't know if anyone's seen a cassowary on attack.
No.
But they are enormous, and they put their big head thing down, and they flap their wings, and they make the most god-awful noise that you can imagine. And I am running for my life. And this thing's after me. Wow, wow, wow. It's after me.
Where was mum or dad?
Pissing themselves laughing. This is the worst part.
That's what happens.
I'm screaming my head off. And they are just laughing their guts out. I think dad eventually threw something at it, and it ran away. But... It is traumatic.
Yeah, that's traumatic. All right, watch out for fair cassowaries. Enough. Thank you, Cassandra.
Fair thing. And we've got Dale of the Gold Coast. Now, what happened in Thailand?
I went out to this tour, and we're out in this nursery. And I've come across this cage, and there was a three-toed sloth. Now, they are the slowest animals on the planet. Everyone knows it. They don't move at any, totally drug affected.
Yeah.
I'm a major Dr. Doolittle. I have to touch everything. And I put my hand in the cage, and I'm like, oh, wow, look at this thing. It hit me faster than a snake. I've never seen anything like it. It swung around.
What?
And absolutely nailed me across the arm.
What, gave you a forehand?
Three-toed sloth, and it absolutely drilled me. It was one of those open-air cages too, so I was just standing there. I had nowhere to go, and it absolutely nailed me.
Yeah, look, it's a great warning. It's a great warning that sloths are actually extremely quick. Mm. They just move slowly for the documentaries.
It's great.
Are you scarred for life with a sloth swipe?
Well, I turned around and I'm trying to tell everyone. They said, "Well, how slowly did you move away from the thing? Because it is a sloth after all." I went, "No." And I couldn't convince anyone that it moved that quickly.
Frauds. No. They've been hiding behind that their whole lives.
Yeah, haven't convinced us either for being attacked by the slowest animal on earth, mate. You're going to the Ashes at the Gabba, 23rd of November, cricket.com.au/tickets. You heard me, mate. You're off to the Ashes.
Oh, wow, that's amazing. Thanks, guys.
What's going on?
I love the cricket.
Where did that come from?
What?
That could happen at any time during our show.
No, it's fine. Dale's fair. It can. You can take a mate. May 8 is when the tickets go on sale, God. But you're already off to the Ashes. Dale, well done.
We are so lucky to have him every single week. He calls through. He is our Prime Minister, Rich Uncle Mal. Good morning.
Good morning to you, Robin. Hello to you, Ed and Marta. Always a pleasure talking to you up there in Brisbane.
It is a pleasure. Now, Anastasia Palaszczuk, our Premier, says that you're worse than Tony Abbott. That is a serious burn, is it not?
It's quite a burn, and I'll return fire by saying she's a real punish. Oh. I'm quite Gen Y this morning, aren't I?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I might get on my single speed bike. Anyway, no, I nearly sprayed my lap saying Shushong yesterday when I read that. And I'll make it quite clear, I like Anastasia Palaszczuk.
Oh.
It's one of my favourite names to say, along with Gladys Berejiklian. and Usman Khawaja. I think they should be on the spelling syllabus. They feel good in the gob, don't they, those names? They certainly do. But I mean, worse than Tony. In what way? Am I worse at eating onions? Yes, I am. I like to cook mine. Yes. Anastasia. Am I worse at knighting the Duke of Edinburgh? Worst vaguely exposing myself most mornings for a thin film of nylon in my dick stickers. I mean, Palaszczuk has quite the nerve. I went to Queensland during Cyclone Debbie. I pretended to be interested in you people for a couple of days. Hey. What more do you want?
That's true.
Hey, listen, what about gas? That was all the talk last week. What is so exciting about gas?
Well, I think we need to look to the future for clean, renewable energy, inexpensive energy. Now, gas is not clean, it's not renewable, and it's quite expensive. But, you know, you've got to say something, don't you? I say gas-fired power station, yeah, and most of the plebs schlepping off to work think, oh, yeah, not a bad idea. I mean, I could say pensioner-fired power station. They think, yeah, okay, we've got heaps of them. Why not? Heaps of oldies.
Are you looking forward to meeting Trump on Thursday? Big day.
Well, Robbo, I'm excited. I've got to say that. I mean, I've got to contain myself a little bit because I want to subtly check out his hairstyle. Where does it begin and end? Those weird lips and his tiny little porky hands. Yes. But I'm going to broach the subject of the hang-up when he hung up on me. I'm going to say, I don't think you hung up on me. It must have been a bad line from the most secure office in the world to the most secure office in this country. Yes. Telstra can be a bit shit at times. Then I'll beg him not to let North Korea blow us into oblivion.
Right.
I guess that's the way it'll go.
No golf or anything? No, you won't be playing golf with him or anything like that, will you?
No, we're meeting on a ship, the USS Intrepid. It's now a maritime museum. Oh,
of course.
Unless we drive a few balls off the top deck, I don't think we'll be playing golf. It's not really my game, though.
No, it's not.
I don't like
Chuckle
Mound.
You're a kayaker.
You got a song stuck in your head this week?
Well, I have. Ed, I put an old CD from 2005 in the selector in the Bentley, and it was Wolf Mother. So I've been singing along to Joker and the Thief. I see the Joker is a wanted man. He makes his way all across the land. Yeah. See him sifting through the sand. So I'll tell you all the story about the Joker and the Thief in the night time.
Wowzers, that is quite remarkable. Thank you, Rich Uncle Mal, the PM.
Terrific stuff. Before I go, I just want to say the Triple A rocks Seven Hills. Good on you guys.
Oh, thank you, Rich Uncle.
Count them out there.
Thank you, sir.
You're good guys and great constituents. Bye now.
I've been cooking up a pub crawl for a while now, Brisbane Historical Pub Crawl. Any pub... I'll tell you how it started. Any pub before 1900 in Brisbane. So start to think while I tell you. A mate of mine has got the license for what's now called Johnny Ringo's. It's the Orient Hotel if you're coming down through the valley. You know the
Orient Hotel?
The Wedge Hotel. I went and saw the Mentals there, the Metals Anything there. The bands used to always play in the end of the Wedge.
Okay.
There. What is that? Where Ann Street and Queen Street start to split off or whatever.
Orient Hotel, so it's not called that anymore.
No, it's called Johnny Ringo's. It's a long story on how it changed its name. But it's been there. Well, he sent me a photo from the valley. If someone was standing in that park over the road from the Orient, which is at the valley end of the city.
Mm-hmm.
All right, it's where... God, I've got my Refidex open.
You do have your Refidex open.
Anyway, where Ann Street splits up. Hold on. That's Ann... What's that? Wickham Street and Ann Street, where they split when you get to the city. Right?
Okay.
That hotel, and in the background is a hotel that used to be there called the National Hotel. It's gone. Oh. And, you know, we lamented that. We're sending emails to each other. I said, how old's your bloody pub? And he said, oh, mate, hold on, I'll look it up. But he didn't know for sure anyway. It was 1870-something. I said, hold on, let's think about the other pubs because there's been plenty knocked down around the town, whether it's the Port Office, we started to go through them all, the Normanby's before 1900,
the Regatta's before
1900, the Alliance Hotel up at Spring Hill, the Transcontinental just around the corner from us here, we're near the William Dolly Bridge, everyone, Transcontinental. I came up with about 8 hotels straight away and I said, right, I don't know where your pub's going to fit in, but we're going to drop in there. I'm going to have a historical at the historic, have you got that thing ready yet? No, historic... Historic pub crawl.
So hang on, so it's only for pubs that were built
before 1900.
Before 1900.
Yeah, I haven't done all my research.
Well, what are you planning on doing? You walk in, have a beer and walk, get the history from the publican and then walk out again?
Something like that. Ooh. Well, that, it's only Tuesday. I've got plenty of time. It's on this Saturday because I finally don't have any footy this Saturday night. So about 2 o'clock Saturday, we're going to meet, and I figured probably the Normanby. So I've got to work this out. Can I get other people to help me out? Do you know any other pubs? It's going to be any city. I can't go. I may do a Bayside one at some other stage. I may split this historic pub crawl into a number of different things. Wow. Virtually inner city, like within 3 km of the inner city.
So what do you want? You want people to come on your pub tour?
Great moments. Why your pub that you love, I don't know, with the pineapple, how old's that? How old's the Storybridge Hotel? Are they included? Are they too far out of the city?
Okay.
Good question. If you know of a pub that is old as the hills and you'd like to come on Marto's pub tour, we're going to start. Oh, well, let's start giving away some tickets.
I've got a whole bus.
Oh, of course you do.
Well, I haven't nailed everything down, but I will have at 2 p.m. on Saturday.
Is there a free beer at each pub?
Free beer at every pub. There'll be responsible service of alcohol. We won't be going overboard. At the last hotel we visit, which I don't know, might be the Regatta or something, we have got to work all this out. But for about 3 hours on Saturday afternoon, there's a pub crawl on.
And you're going to stand up the front of that bus?
No, not necessarily. I'll just blend in. I'm just one of the guys. Just
I'm just like
the team.
You. Yeah. I'm just
one
like
of the
you.
Team. Would you like to go on Marto's classic pub tour of Brisbane?
Let's be very clear. It's pubs built before 1900.
Okay, they have to be old pubs and they have to have a story.
Roll up, everybody. Get on board, Marto's pub tour.
That's very cool. That is very cool.
Historic pub crawl. It's going to happen this Saturday, 2 p.m. till, I don't know, whenever it finishes. It will be responsible service of alcohol. It'll have all those.
Just laid out. If I'm just joining and I'm thinking, what's going on? What's happening?
I realised a mate of mine owns an old pub, and we were talking about how many old pubs in Brisbane have been knocked down. Now, these are pubs built before 1900. And I said, right, I'm going to do something about this. I'm going to draw attention to and have a historical pub crawl. So we're going to start. At this stage, I'm starting at the Normanby. What year is that? 1890, finally, the second Normanby got built. And then I'm going to head downtown to the Transcontinental. This is at this stage until I get further ideas. Port Office, it seems to be 1864.
Ooh.
Jeez. All right, hotels like this. But
you get
let's
a beer
go
in
one.
Each one, so it's worth your while to come
one,
and participate.
One beer at each one, and then you've got to move on. I'll be tight with it. And then at the last, the place where we finish, we haven't decided where that'll be. Yeah, that'll be, you can linger as long as, you're up to you.
Right.
Who's up first?
JT of Bevel. Hello. Which pub are you nominating?
Oh, it's got to be a Storybridge, eh?
Ooh.
All right. Well, I'll have to get out of the city then, maybe after the Port Office, get onto the freeway and come over to the Storybridge. What year is the Storybridge? Is it before 900? Yeah, it would be, wouldn't it?
Yeah, obviously it has to be before 900, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Not a lot of facts here.
Pub crawl in Brisbane, you can't do one without a Storybridge.
Our guys are telling us 1886.
Righto, that's included. Have you ever been there, JT?
Oh, once, a long, long time ago.
Down that bunker can cause you terrible trouble. We're not looking to stay for a long time, though. We're just giving a little taste. Righto.
Oh, damn.
Are you coming?
Oh, yeah, I'll be there for sure.
All right, you're on the bus.
JT. Well done, JT. First man on the bus. Well played.
Kevin of Morningside, what hotel are you nominating?
Good morning, guys. I think the Pineapple Hotel has definitely got to be a goer.
Do you have a year?
1870, I believe.
Oh, God, righto. Well, that's good. I'll do those two and then skip back over the Storybridge and we're, righto. You want to come?
I'd love to come, guys. Love to.
Righto. Okay. I'll see you Saturday for a few.
Get on your
great. We're talking beer on a Tuesday morning.
Gavin of Virginia, nominate a pub for us. Which one?
I think the Brecon Creek might be a goer.
Well, you have to. You might meet the ghost, the former publican who and Lord Mayor of Brisbane who fell out of a window, and he's apparently haunted the pub ever since.
The Lord Mayor of Brisbane
Lord
used to
Mayor.
Own the creek.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. And he fell out of a window.
Well, I've got no doubts. I know there's a little thing on the top there. It says 1880 something or other built the creek, wasn't it? Gav?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. I don't go looking for it.
No.
No. Keeps his eyes on the prize.
Right,
Gav,
well,
you're going, mate.
I'll have to figure that. That might be too far out. Like, I want to keep it nice and compact around the centre of the city.
Sure. Oh.
We'll see. But do you want to cut you on board?
Absolutely. If it's, absolutely.
Oh, if we can fit in with your schedule, that'll be great to have you on board. It's only drinking beer on a Saturday. That's all it is.
With Marto in a bus. Yeah. Will of Inogra.
Hey, Will.
Yeah, mate.
Right, have you got a suggestion for another pub that I've overlooked?
Yeah. Got the Elephant in the Valley.
Is that a really old pub?
Yeah, 1888.
Is that okay? Is that which one is that? Because there's a couple of. Is that where is that
on Ann Street?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. Has it changed its name?
Well, it was the Elephant and Wheelbarrow at some stage, wasn't
okay.
it?
There you go.
Yeah.
Right, hold on. I'm writing it down. Will, do you want to come?
I'd love to, mate.
Right, you're on board. 2 o'clock. I think we're starting at the Normanby to be confirmed.
Can
Beautiful.
Good luck, Will. I'm straddling the idea. Obviously, Ed's not going to go because he doesn't drink beer.
No.
And I'm thinking, is this just going to be a really blokey thing?
Yeah.
Okay.
You don't have to go.
I might have soccer.
No, you don't have to go.
That's right. It's just I noticed that I didn't have anything after my son's footy. I didn't have a game on Saturday night. I thought, I wouldn't mind drinking beer. And it's just something that's been invented.
Right.
It's going to be fun, mate. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Awesome.
There's going to be plenty
There'll
of chances.
There'll probably be nudity.
What?
Oh,
yours?
Well, that's if.
Yeah,
well,
I was girls. Just hanging around on a bus. Actually, girls can come on the bus. I don't have a problem with that.
I was just about to say, are we going to. Okay, good.
Get in touch on Facebook. Get
sure,
your historical
we've got little song.
In.
We've got the song, but we don't have many other details. And that's where we're starting point. We have a meeting after this. The boss said, where did that come from? And I go, well, I don't know. I just wanted to drink on Saturday.
Robin, safe to say every parent's worst nightmare. Your young daughter is over in South America and you get the phone call to say that she has been arrested with kilos of cocaine allegedly in her bags. Inside headphone cases.
And she's screaming at you down the phone saying, I've been set up, get me out of here.
Yeah, this is what has happened to an Adelaide girl by the name of Cassandra Sainsbury. It's 5 kilograms of cocaine in the drug bust in Colombia.
Where would you rather be in a prison, in Bali or Colombia?
Well, do you know what? That's not a question that I can answer, but thankfully we do have someone who can tell us more about this. Rusty Young is his name. He's an author. Spent time in South American prison. His book, Marching Powder, is one of the most read books, I reckon, by people when I see them on holiday in Bali and other places. You always see blokes with this book, Marching Powder. It's so popular. And he's got a new book, Colombiano, and he joins us on the line. G'day, Rusty.
Hi, Marto, Ed and Robin. How are you?
We're okay. What kind of insights can you give us into the South American and, you know, Colombian legal system? So they've found this stuff in her bag as she's about to board the aeroplane. Is that normally what goes on?
That's correct. So the 5.8 kilograms were found by an X-ray detector, metal detector, as she was going through the her baggage was being loaded onto the plane, and then they pulled her aside, interrogated her. That was on the 11th of April. So it's actually taken quite a while for this to hit the international headlines. She's been kept in a prison called El Buen Pastor, which means the Good Shepherd, in the outskirts of Bogota, Colombia.
Oh, now, from your knowledge of South American prisons, what type of place would that be?
Yeah, so as far as South American prisons go, that's not too bad. That's not a bad one. I actually lived in Bogota for 8 years, so I know the men's prison there, which is called La Modelo. And if she was a male and she'd been caught and sent to that prison, I would be extremely worried for her safety, because they have members of cartels, members of to the two opposing terrorist organisations there, in the middle of shootouts, grenades, all sorts of stuff, but. The women's prison is nowhere near as violent. There are lots of children living inside there with their mothers. And in fact, some of the kids have actually been born inside the prison to pregnant mothers who get convicted. About 200 to 300 foreigners get caught coming through, attempting to smuggle drugs out of that that airport, El Dorado, in Bogota per year.
200 to 300, Rusty?
I think they've got about 130 so far this year.
Because if I was trying to smuggle drugs out of South America, I would probably think that the authorities in Colombia, I don't know whether I think that they would be more allowed to sort of let it go, that they've all been bribed, or that they'd be more hard on it because everyone thinks of cocaine, they think of Colombia. Which is it? Are they sort of
they've got the latest technology, and in fact, they've even got sniffer dogs on the way in. And you'd think, what are the dogs there for on the way in? Well, the dogs actually on the way in are there to detect cash coming back in, because that's another.
Wow.
So does this story strike you as odd? Then it seems like quite a lot of cocaine in allegedly in headphones, and there's talk of her maybe being used as a decoy or something. It's very odd.
Yeah, look, this doesn't sound at all like a sophisticated Colombian operation. There's no way that you'd even attempt to get that quantity through. Typically, drug mills that are organised by the Colombian rings take up between sort of 750 grams up to 1 kilogram swallowed. And that's not going to get picked up in the airport unless they X-ray you. So typically they will, they will recruit young, attractive women because they're less suspicious in airports than Latino males. But it would be very atypical to send a drug mill through an unsuspecting drug mule with stuff that they weren't aware of. Because if you think about the logic of trafficking drugs, you need someone on the other side, at the other airport, to pick up the drugs. So it just doesn't make sense to send drugs with someone who doesn't know that they're carrying those drugs. Yeah. So there are a few, let's say, inconsistencies and illogicalities in the story that's being told. But again, we can't.
No, of course not. We don't know.
But with all the facts.
If she is convicted, what will happen to her?
She'll be in prison for, depending on whether she pleads innocent or guilty. If you plead innocent and you're found guilty, the sentence is higher, obviously. So the earlier you plead guilty, if you are in fact guilty, you can get a reduction in sentence, and you can get a reduction in sentence for good behaviour. I would say for that amount, you know, the newspapers are reporting 25 years. No way. It's going to be more like 5-6 years.
A rusty young author lived in South America, the author of the book Marching Powder, the phenomenally popular book Marching Powder, and the new one, Colombiano, talking about the South American legal system. And we no matter what the result is, your thoughts have got to go out to the family of this 22-year-old Australian who's in Colombia facing this situation. Rusty, appreciate your time. Thanks, buddy.
Thank you, guys.
Mato, I'm fully expecting you to know the answer to this question because you are the camping one amongst us. But what is the number one injury in children under 17 who camp? And the reason why I say this, and this will give it away, is there's a story in today's Courier Mail about a young boy, 14 months, who is in a stable condition, suffering 18% burns to his body.
All right. It's people not putting out their fires or putting their fires out with sand and going, that's enough, and kids walking on them. I bet this happens all the time.
And the reason why it's also interesting to me is that happened to my eldest son when he was 11. He was playing AFL with a group of other kids at about 7 o'clock in the morning. Yeah, well, his father was quite interested, but he fell back. He was going for the ball, fell back over a chair and landed in a fire.
What, on his back?
On his arm.
And burn his arm?
Third degree burns. What's the worst one? Third degree burns to his arm. We had to rush him. We were up inland, up north, and we had to rush him to Caboolture Hospital. And then he ended up going to the Royal Children's Hospital. And I got told then that it is the number one accident that happens to kids under 17.
That was your own campsite, though.
No, it wasn't. It was someone else's.
Next door.
Yeah, because what people do is they think that it's okay if you put sand on it, but what happens is that then it just festers when you know.
You ask a Kiwi, you build a hungy. You got a fire down there and you cover it up. It cooks for like 12 hours, 16 hours. It's still as hot.
Tell us then, because I am the last person who could tell what to do here. What are you meant
to do? It puts flames out. Yeah, putting sand on it will put the flames out, but it won't cool the coals.
No, in fact, it hots it up.
What's the right thing to do with a fire?
Throw a heap of water on it slowly. Don't throw a whole bucket on, because most of the time you're either near the sea or you're near a lake.
Yeah.
Go down. Don't throw it on really quickly. Pour it slowy. If you throw it on quickly, sometimes
you'll get steam burns.
You'll get really bad steam burn.
Make sure you ask Anthony Robbins first, because he may be planning one of his inspirational firewalks with people. And if you want to master the giant within, you may have to do some work.
Bestbrook Mountain Resort. That's where you'll find Anthony
Robbins. The new Triple M.
Good tip. If you're watching the sports news last night, you might have seen young Brisbane guy Cameron Smith. He was in the lead of the Zurich Classic with his Swedish teammate. It's a two-man event. All right, they were in the lead well and truly, and then all of a sudden they stood on the 18th while Kevin Klisner hit this chip shot. He's an American dude. Hit this chip shot to an eagle and put it into a playoff. So they're playing off for $2 million.
Whoa.
But it got too dark. So they said, well, you're going to have to go home, go to bed and come back tomorrow.
Oh, that poor guy.
And we wake up this morning and he's actually pulled it off. He's won $1 million for himself, his first PGA Tour win. We got his coach. He's a Brisbane bloke. Grant, how are you, mate? Grant Field.
Good, guys. How are you going?
How did you go this morning? Are you over there or are you in Brizzy?
No, I'm home at the moment. I'm actually up on the Sunshine Coast, but I'm home at the moment. So after not a lot of sleep, that's for sure.
Yeah, we were just discussing that, how neither you nor Cam would have probably slept at all last night.
Yeah, I haven't. I think I maybe got an hour. I don't know. I just felt like I'm probably a bit delusional actually this morning, to be honest.
What time did it happen? I didn't see it until about 5 a.m.
So it was about, they hit off about 11 o'clock our time last night, so 8 a.m. their time yesterday. And then by the time it finished, it was about 4:30, 1 o'clock this morning. So
So Cam Smith, the golfer it is that we're talking about, not the other, not the footy Cam Smith. Yeah. So am I right? There's $1 million. He's won $1 million at this golf tournament. Yeah. It's a tournament I have never heard of in my life, Grant. How come there's so many $1 million golf tournaments? It feels like every week there's a $1 million golf tournament. Where do they get the money?
Yeah, pretty much. To be honest, I don't know. And I think a lot of them have got to thank Tiger Woods for that, that's for sure. But I think, most weeks on tour now, I think the minimum purse is, I mean, there's a couple of weeks that aren't, but a $6-7 million event, so first prize is over $1 million. So
most weeks.
Every week, Grant. Every
pretty
week,
much, pretty
God.
Much, yeah. And then in the majors, you know, the purse is around $10 million. So, you know, they're getting up close to $1.8 to $2 million for winning. So
it's huge, man.
It sounds good, but he's a 23-year-old now. He's been doing this. But tell us his background, Grant, or tell everyone his background.
As far as, so originally, obviously, from Brisbane, so at a golf course just out of Brisbane called Wantima.
Mm-hmm. What, at Albany Creek?
Yeah, I was going to say, just up there.
Yep. Is that where he learned how to play?
Around the corner, yep, and still plays there when he comes home all the time. So, very, very loyal guy, that's for sure. And, so started playing there early on with his dad, Des, and, obviously showed a lot of promise early on. And I first saw Cam as a 10-year-old in a squad that we were doing, and then not long after that started coaching him on a regular basis, and then we've sort of gone from there. So
10-year-old,
about 12-13 years now. So
did he ever say, "I want to play another sport"? Like, did he ever go?
He used to play a bit of rugby league. Early on, but I think, you've seen the size of him. He's a big boy.
And also that we already had a Cam Smith. We already had a Cam Smith in rugby league.
Exactly right.
So two might have been too much.
So what does this mean to $1 million? What will it mean?
And this sounds a bit, but the money's kind of secondary to the exemptions and the starts. And so he's got another, 2 years exemptions from, 2000, so the rest of this year, and then 2018, 2019, and then...
For those that don't know, that means that he just gets invited
every
to tournaments.
Tournament.
He doesn't have to qualify.
I didn't know that.
The hard
like
part.
The Masters.
So, that's important.
So basically, he's got a job for the next couple of years, pretty much, which obviously then means things like endorsements and that probably go up as well. So,
Do you get any of that $2 million?
A very small amount, yes.
Grantfield. It's a grantfieldgolf.com.au. If you're thinking to yourself, I've got an 8-year-old that can hit him. Grantfieldgolf.com.au. The coach of the golfer, Cam Smith, Brisbane boy who's just broken through. 23-year-old's just won himself $1 million on the tour.
So proud.
Done a great job. Good on you, Grant. Nice to speak to you, mate.
Oh, I love this game. It's when the women's magazines come out. Similar story, but totally different takes. And boys, I want you to pick which one you think is true or false.
Oh, no.
Okay.
What are the stories?
New idea. Bindi and Chandler buy a zoo. Bindi Irwin and her American boyfriend Chandler.
What's he good at? Is he a skateboarder or something?
No, he was a wakeboarder, I believe.
Oh, he's a wakeboarder. You're right. Anyway, the story runs. Loved up Bindi Irwin has unveiled top secret plans to buy a zoo with her US boyfriend Chandler Powell. The devoted couple took a secret trip to Florida last week and began their ambitious plans of bringing the Australian zoo empire to the States.
Okay.
All right.
So that's your first story.
So what happens to Australia Zoo?
Well, no, it continues with Terry and Bob, but Bindi opens a franchise Florida.
Right.
Okay, so that's the first one.
Can't we get rid of Terry?
The second one, in Women's Day, the headline screams, "Will Chandler spill the Irwin family secrets?" And it starts with tensions between Bindi Irwin and US boyfriend Chandler Powell simmering for weeks.
Tensions? What's happened?
No one is more concerned about the state of their young romance than wildlife mum, Terry. She is terrified that he will unveil the Irwin family secret.
What's the Irwin family secrets? That Terry pulls her pants up too high? Chandler pointed this out.
That ain't a secret.
That they're wearing wigs? Yeah. Is Bob got a wig on? Is that what's going on?
It's about their financial situation, their plans for the Irwin empire, and what really happened to Bob, the dad.
This is, who do I believe? Are they buying a zoo in Florida or have they got family secrets?
Does Russell Crowe mention any of these stories?
No, not this time.
Surely. They've always got to have a Russell Crowe feature.
Next issue, mate. Next issue.
Okay, boys, which one's true or false?
I reckon they're buying a zoo in Florida.
Okay.
I reckon they're going to do it.
No, they can't. I reckon Chandler, they're getting ready to cut him.
Oh.
he's getting ready. So they fed the story to whatever that other, what's that magazine?
Women's Day.
Women's Day. They fed the story. So, yeah, it doesn't win it when Chandler just disappears. I think Bindi's ready to move on.
Oh.
Wow. What a scoop.
She's
that
ready
is.
To move on to a. To a skier, not just a wakeboarder.
Wow. Right. You heard it here first.
What sort of an occupation? That's not an occupation, is it? Wakeboarding?
It is now.
No, it's an odd occupation. I think it's about a 4-year TAFE course, but you got to pay for it up front. So you don't get hacks for wakeboarding. Now on Triple M, we're checking in with Gordy
Tallis. Tell us. Everyone loves Tell us. Representative round this weekend. No club games, but there's plenty. City countries on, or Italy's playing, Samoa, Tonga. There's all games going on all over the place. And, of course, Australia playing New Zealand. But yesterday morning at 9:19, all members of the media would have received an email going, I know we were going to announce the City team at 9:30 this morning, but we don't have enough players at this stage. There's something very weird went on in the game where everyone said, no, we don't want our players to play that nonsense. Gordon, tell us, what do you know about all this?
Well, obviously, it's publicised how, the RLPA is negotiating for, the players to get a bigger slice of the pie. So at the moment, the club and the clubs aren't signing like the new deal. Obviously, the NRL have the platform of the clubs to play, but they got to sign, I think it's 5 or 10 year deals to say that they will play in that competition. So all that's going. So the clubs and the game aren't quite getting on at the moment. How do you get them back? Mate, we're going to pull our guys out. They need a rest or whatever. And the NRL's powerless, really, because they don't want to be poking the bears at the moment.
Right, okay. So then why is it that after retiring from representative football, why did I have to bear the Paul Gallen's grinning face back in a representative jersey? Why do I have to cop that, Gordy?
Ed, we can't get him offside at Triple M, but because we had him on the couch last Thursday and Brian Fletcher said, I think it's selfish. He's going to take a young kid's spot that gets a chance to play at that level.
That's right.
He retired last year and then he goes, if someone asked me to play, I sat out the last year of Origin as well, so I didn't play my last year. One, because I wasn't good enough. But once you retire, you don't want to be Johnny Farnham, do you?
No.
Keep coming back.
Just keep on coming back. Just, mate, right off into the sunset. You had your day in the sun. You won your grand final. Your test matches.
Bugger off.
There's that theory, or there's a theory that there's no big name playing it. So why isn't Gallen allowed to play it? Because, he's the name and he does put bums on seats and he promotes it good. And he's, on Channel 9 News, started an argument with Brian Fletcher. Well, now more people are knowing about the game as well.
So, Gordy, I can say this at 8:10 because we yell it at State of Origin. Do you think Gallen's a wanker?
Oh, I haven't yelled it out at a game. Probably because I had a microphone in front of me a couple of times.
Don't have to.
It probably wouldn't sound good here. But, I didn't like Benny Elias. It's always good to have villains. It was Benny Elias. Mm. It was Wally for Queensland. And when Wally left, no one really hated Elf, and I got it. Yes, no one really hated Lockie. Cameron's sort of getting it a bit.
Mm. Oh, so you knew that everyone hated you.
Oh, yeah, loved it too. Loved every minute. I actually loved getting booed, and the more they booed me, right, the more I wanted to play good. Like, you can turn it around. And. Yeah. I always used to say, when people go, gee whiz, the crowd didn't like you today. I said, well, they're colourblind because I was wearing their coloured jersey. For instance, the St. George jerseys.
Yeah.
They like me. As soon as I put a Broncos jersey on, St. George fans hated me.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, it's all about your own little tribe. But is he going to play for New South Wales, Paul Gallen? That's the question everyone's asking. Fear.
Oh, well, I don't know. It's sort of, and that's what we all starting to think, that he's angling he sort of said, Brad Fittler asked me, did I want to play? And then now he's sort of going, if Laurie asked me, I'll come back. So there's a fair bit of pressure on Laurie now because he's playing great, but you retire or didn't you retire? So watch this space. Mate, it's good. It's representative round. So we've got so many people playing. I really love the Tonga Samoa game.
It. I love that too.
That'll be
I
enormous. Love that
yeah. That's great yeah, so, stuff.
So mate, we want them to play our game. And I think if we put these games on, it stops them from wanting to play for Queensland and Australia. They can represent their own country. Yep. And it's a great weekend, when there's not a lot of footy. We've got a test on. We've got city country, so the country boys get a go. All the Polynesian boys get a go. I think it's fantastic for the game. And the Melanesians too when it comes to the Fijians and
Cook Islanders.
Papua New Guineans. Yeah.
All right, Gordy Tallis.
Are there any club games? Ooh. Anyone? There's no club games at all, is there?
No.
No.
Sorry, there's no what?
There are no club games at all, are there?
No. Just around, so City, Country, Tonga Samoa, I think Fiji, yeah. PNG are playing.
Cool. So Gordy might stop talking.
No, Gordy's got
yeah, there's still be plenty of talk.
He's still got
We'll call the City Country game on the M. So the test match will be called out of Canberra on Thursday. So, Robin, yes, I work every weekend.
Oh,
you're
Gordy.
You're a hero, Gordy Tallis.
You're a hero, mate. The real hero is Gordy Tallis. Good to speak to you.
Tuesdays are my sad days.
He's still going.
Tuesdays are my sad days.
I think we've seen goodbye to you. Yeah.
See you, Gordy. On you, Gordy. We'll catch you on Fox, mate, the Matty Johns show. 8:30, Fox League on Thursday. No, he's gone. He's hung up.